Today, Chuck Swindoll cites the lessons we learned from the betrayal by Jesus' friend Judas.
Hardcore hypocrisy, the longer it lasts, the better you get at it, and the more people you can fool. Worst of all, the more you can lie to yourself. The longer Judas lied to himself, the more he believed what he was doing was the truth.
Currently on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll is guiding us through a verse-by-verse study in the Gospel according to Matthew. In this brand new teaching series, Chuck has come to the 27th chapter of Matthew. It's a sobering passage that describes the final days of Jesus' life, in which he endured undue suffering and the painful betrayal of friends. As Chuck said on yesterday's program, sometimes it's easy to skip from Gethsemane to Golgotha, while missing the troubling trials that occurred in between. So we're taking time to absorb these moments together. Chuck begins with prayer.
We are grateful, our Father, for your constant grace that meets us where we are, provides what we do not deserve, and ultimately forgives us of wrong that we do and places us in right standing before you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize, Lord, as we read of a man totally disillusioned, totally sinful, completely and thoroughly away from the spiritual life, that he is the same one who walked with your son for years, who heard the same teachings, witnessed the same miracles, yet none of it affected his life. I pray that you will search our souls, Lord, make us aware that what happened then can still happen today. And as the psalmist prayed, I pray, search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. And see if there be any way of pain within us. And having revealed it, lead us into the way of righteousness. We commit to you the weeks that will unfold. We pray that we might walk in the power of the Spirit, that we might be your faithful models, not perfect, but faithful. Find in us hearts that wish to be authentic and lives that are lived before others to draw them to the Savior. May your grace shine through our lives as it has been used so effectively to bring us to the cross and to humble us before you. We thank you for the privilege now of giving. We pray that these offerings will honor you as they go into areas that we will never be and touch lives we will never meet. May the gospel be faithfully declared, and may lives be changed because of it. We commit the offering to you as we do these words of prayer. In the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord of great grace, we pray. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To study the book of Matthew with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. We're in Matthew chapter 27, and Chuck titled today's message, Thoroughly Innocent, Totally Guilty.
I want you to think about Judas before the act of betrayal. He heard all the teachings. He witnessed as many miracles as any disciple witnessed. He was there alongside Jesus. He heard him breathe at night. He ate alongside him. He watched the crippled healed. He watched the dead raised to life. He watched the storm stilled. He watched the sea calmed. He saw the second member of the Trinity at work in human flesh. He was aware of all of it. Then why in the world would he betray him? Most likely, though we are never given verses on this, when you piece them together and you see Judas emerge from place to place, most likely Judas was more a political zealot than a religious disciple. Judas wanted Jesus to become the king over the Romans. He lived for the day that Jesus would accept his kingdom, make those disciples a part of his kingship, and overthrow Rome. When Jesus turned down the kingdom, Judas was terribly disillusioned. He began to rethink his role and why he was following Jesus. And so, in light of that disillusionment, Judas begins to change. Now he comes to the ultimate moment, the result of his betrayal, as he witnesses firsthand something he had never thought would happen. I believe that Judas thought somehow Jesus would be whisked through the trials, removed and relieved and taken away, done away with some other way. Never thought what he would witness would become a reality, which is why we read what we do. Here is Judas, who realized that Jesus had been condemned to die. The way it's written is like a light goes on. He sees it for the first time. He realizes that he's going to die. He has probably seen some of the torturing that is a part of the scourging. And the result is he is filled with remorse, not repentance, remorse. He feels shame for what he has done, but he is not repenting from his actions. I've left out something very, very important. The night of the Last Supper, before Judas leaves to go into the night to carry out his plan to betray him, we read that Satan entered Judas. He's still there. We never read where Satan left Judas. So he's still a Satan-inspired and influenced and possessed man. He is evil to the core. But even though that's true, he is confused when he sees what is happening and the result of his betrayal. He feels this pain of remorse, this shame, this deep and abiding sense of regret. So he takes the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests, and he treats them as though they are his priests. And he says, I've sinned. I betrayed an innocent man. And he slings the silver out in the temple. We read in verse 5, he threw the silver coins down. Before you read the rest, please notice their response. They say to him, what do we care? That's your problem. Let me remind you of a piece I've shared with you before regarding sin in a life. I call it the toll sin takes. It comes in three parts. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. Classic example is Judas. He's now trapped in his own sinfulness. He didn't start out to be a traitor. But over the erosion of time, even though he was in the presence of one who was absolutely and completely innocent, he became increasingly more guilty, totally, ultimately sinful. So he's in a no man's land. He can't return to the disciples, for they know now that he's a traitor. And he can't go to run with the Jewish leaders because they want nothing to do with him. They've used him up. He's trash to them. He is without the one thing every person needs to exist. He is without hope. He has nowhere to turn. Broken, confused, disillusioned, saturated in guilt, putty in the hands of Satan, filled with shame, and I might add, remember, still possessed of the one who was a murderer from the beginning, Satan himself. Judas moves to the one act that happens as a result of this hopeless situation. He went out and he hanged himself. The rest of the verses 6 through 10 deal with the money and how it's spent to buy the field. You could read that for yourself. I want to pause here at this very serious impasse and draw 5 important lessons regarding this situation. Before I do, I want to say to all of you, I know I am not looking at a Judas as I look at all of you, but I may be looking at one or more who has picked up this eroding mentality. You run with Christians, you know the songs, you maybe can quote the verses, you're in fairly faithful attendance at a church, you understand the lifestyle of believers, but you're not one, and you know you're not one. But you have cultivated a persona that appears as though you are. I don't know who you are. So I use this as the place of application, and I speak to all of you knowing that it will truly speak to a few of you who are in that category. These are the 5 lessons we all can learn from them. Number 1, secret sin warps our minds and twists our values. This was the result of cover-up. It began with Judas when Jesus rejected the kingdom and he secretly harbored thoughts against him. His interests, remember, were more political than spiritual. Jesus didn't do what he thought he would do. Judas began to think differently about the one he had followed or had been following. Secret sins will do a number on you, which is one of the reasons I've said for years that a good, solid, biblically based counselor who is wise and confidential is often the healthiest kind of relationship you can cultivate. With that individual, you are free to unload the truth of your life, to let the secrets out, to admit them, to acknowledge them, and to deal with them. Judas has no one and is not looking for anyone. Before that could happen, Satan enters him and he becomes a pawn in the hand of the evil master. Secret sin warps our minds and twists our values. 2, All acts of cover up are deceitful, making self-deception the worst. All acts of cover up are deceitful, making self-deception the worst. This leads to the cultivation of the worst kind of sin, hardcore hypocrisy. I say the worst kind with tongue in cheek, because sin is sin, but it has such grave ramifications. Hardcore hypocrisy, the longer it lasts, the better you get at it, and the more people you can fool. Worst of all, the more you can lie to yourself. The longer Judas lied to himself, the more he believed what he was doing was the truth, was the right thing to do. I can't explain fully how this is, but it took a twisted mind for it to be cultivated, and that was Judas. Now here's the third, which plays off that second one. The cycle of compulsion and shame drives a wedge between private thoughts and public persona. The cycle of compulsion and shame drives a wedge between private thoughts that are sinful and an often pious public persona. There was a growing unrest deep within Judas, but over time it was a settled fact that he must carry out a plan different than the other disciples, even though he continued to look like a loyal disciple. Remember the Last Supper? When Jesus dismissed him, none of the disciples assumed or were suspicious of him. They didn't look upon Judas leaving as any sense of his moving in a wrong direction. They trusted him to the end. Remember, he held the purse. He was the one chosen to be the treasurer of the 12. Trusted to the end because he had cultivated this hardcore hypocrisy and gotten good at it. Now, this is where it gets a little complicated. When reality ultimately hits, the deceiver is usually shocked, which explains why Judas is shocked. The trial with Pilate, he's shocked to realize what they're going to do with Jesus. You want to say, because you're sitting here with an untwisted mind, well, what did you think? He didn't think like you're thinking. In his mind, there is a twisted set of values. There is a strange way of thinking. And when the reality, the real world, finally landed on him, he is shocked. This explains his response as he says, I have sinned. Now, fifth, finally, when inescapable reality combines with undeniable hopelessness, thoughts of suicide emerge. When reality combines with hopelessness, thoughts of suicide occur. I'm not saying that everyone who takes his life is a Judas. I am not saying that all the details match. I'm not saying that at all. However, I will say this. I've never known a case of suicide where I was able to probe enough regarding those things that led up to it. I've never known a case where the person had hope. Invariably, there was an absence of hope. That's why I've said for years, you cannot really live very long without hope. When Judas realized he was in no man's land, there was no place for him, no group that would have him, not even his family, he took his life. It was the end on this earth for Judas, but not for eternity, of course. Now, where are you? Only you know. You're sitting here hearing these things, and I just have to ask, that you pay close attention to what strikes a chord in your own heart. Because only you can examine yourself. Only you can come to terms with what needs to be done. And you must come to terms with that. If you are beginning to live a life of secret sin, a life of hypocrisy, and you are covering it up more and more, I want to warn you, it will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And that is no way to live your life. The beautiful truth is that Jesus Christ died even for the hypocrite. The joy is that we have a message of hope and forgiveness for all of us, and it's called grace. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, listen to that word, whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. What a great message of hope to give to all of us today. Let's bow our heads together, please. Sit very still. Do your own self-analysis. Where are you? Not just in this story you've heard, but where are you in life? What are you permitting that ought not be going on? What have you stopped paying attention to that needs your attention and change and repentance? Address that right now. And if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus, now is the time to do so. You're not too far gone. You're not too deep in what you're involved in for the Lord not to forgive. Come now. Dear Father, make this time meaningful and soul-searching. Speak deeply to us in the quietness of this hour, and do not let us find rest or relief until we have found that in you and in a relationship with you that is right, that is pure, that is free from hypocrisy. Minister to us as we reflect on the body and the blood of our Savior given on our behalf through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Five lessons emerge from the study of Judas and his betrayal, and it's our hope, our prayer, that these biblical truths lead you to a point of belief. With belief comes hope, and that hope is rooted in God's one and only Son. You're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll, and this is Insight for Living. To learn more about this ministry or to discover a variety of resources available for today's topic, please visit us online at insightworld.org. Now, you might be surprised to learn that our current study in Matthew has never been shared on Insight for Living until now. Even though Chuck has been preaching for more than 50 years, it's his first time to teach through this first book in the New Testament from start to finish. Well, concurrent with this broadcast presentation, we're pleased to offer Chuck's commentary on Matthew as well. Because of the scope of this study, the commentary is published in two hardbound volumes. It's called Swindoll's Living Insights on Matthew. It's laid out in a format that's perfect for new Bible students, giving historical context, practical application, and even pictures and illustrations. To purchase Swindoll's Living Insights on Matthew, call us. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org/offer. It's your generous donations that empower Insight for Living to deliver these daily visits with Chuck. When you give, you're actually making it possible for others across our country and even around the world to have access to practical Bible teaching. By giving, you enable them to grow in Christ just as you have. So thanks for giving generously to this nonprofit ministry. Once again, if you're listening in the U.S., call 1-800-772-8888. To give a donation today online, go to insight.org. In March 2022, Insight for Living Ministries is hosting an unforgettable journey to Israel, carefully planned to deepen your understanding of the Bible and draw you closer to God. Chuck Swindoll.
For thousands of years, no place has been more meaningful to God's children than the land of Israel. The rugged landscape reminds us to find refuge in God alone. The fertile valleys invite us to follow our shepherd. Jerusalem's position at the very center of the world announces the good news of Christ to every nation.
And now you can see Israel with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries, March 6th through 17th, 2022.
Every time I visited the Holy Land, I've returned home with a refreshed heart for God and a renewed vision for the world. Really, I mean it every time. And so I want you to have the same life-changing experience.
To learn more, go to insight.org/events or call this number, 1-888-447-0444. Insight for Living Ministries tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll describes what he calls the strangest of foursomes, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Thoroughly Innocent, Totally Guilty, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2021, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2021 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.